We're going to be in 2 Timothy 2:24. That's the verse that we need to look at for this question here. So we're on page 69 in our book. We're at 2 Timothy 2:24 in our Bible. And she says that this gentleman, Henry Ward Beecher, I'm not sure who that is, he said, though the world needs reproof and correction, it needs kindness more. So what kind of spirit must we develop to keep showing kindness when we know some people may show no appreciation for it? Which is, you know, that goes right along with everything else that we've been learning. You know, it's like, you're going to be kind for your enemies. You're going to, you know, be kind and long-suffering, and gentleness and kindness go right along with everything we've been learning in the book already. So 2 Timothy 2:24 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. And we're servants of the Lord, so striving, causing contention, bringing up differences all the time, being that one person that's always, you've got a complaint, or, you know, there's always some difficulty in your life and you need everybody to share it with you. There are people that are like that. It's like nothing's ever going well for them. Nothing's, you know, nothing's good. And so they just get overwhelmed with, you know, everything that's going on in their lives, and it just comes out, and they just can't almost help themselves with being, you know, everything just is out there for everyone to see. But we're not to strive. We're not to cause contention. We're to look for ways to diffuse that, to bring peace, our love and our joy and our peace, and then long suffering and now gentleness. All of those play into a big effect on how other people handle different, you know, crisis and differences and their feelings. And the more we can get and show that to them, that just kind of calms situations down in your home, at work, you know, if we keep that spirit of we're calm, we may not feel so calm, but we're, you know, we're looking out here, we're projecting our love and our joy and our peace and our long suffering and now our gentleness and our kindness, however you want to say it, so being patient, being gentle, all are good things. But loving our enemies, that's a big one. And just like the verse says, you know, they're not, you know, people are not going to reciprocate all the time. And loving your enemies is not going to just make them all of a sudden be sunshine and roses. You know, it's, you know, not so much. They will probably not love us in return. But when we're kind to our friends, they still may stab us in the back. I remember a pastor told us, we were going through a difficulty in the ministry and we just felt like we were being used all the time. And he goes, but isn't that what the Lord wants us to be? Used? And the way he said it and the way we were feeling was just like, well, of course. You know, it's like you're being a servant. You're giving to others. And it's just like this praying for your enemies. You're giving, but not a lot of people are receiving, but they're not giving back to you. They're not filling. It's almost like your cup is just keeps getting empty and empty and emptier, and nothing's coming in. But that's when the Lord's pouring all the stuff in, and it's not coming from outside, and where, but that's where we see it. That's where we want it to come from. We want it to come from, you know, the people that are close to us, and we want them to be encouraging to us, and we want them to be the ones that are, in, you know, filling our cup up. But all the while, the Lord is doing it, because he's the one that's blessing you, because you're being a servant. So sometimes when you feel that, well, I just keep serving and I just keep doing things, but I'm not getting anything back. You are. You're just not seeing it at the moment because you're still looking this way. God is blessing not only your growth, your spirituality. He's blessing you in ways that you may not find tangible at the moment, but the Lord is the one that's seeing what you're doing. If your spirit is right, your heart is right about how you're serving, the Lord is going to bless. Just like what we were talking about in missions. You do and give and do what the Bible commands you to do. The Lord's the one that he says, I will pour out the blessings on you. So we get tired sometimes serving, and we, you know, it's like there's one more thing we have to do. We have to, you know, and you get tired. But just be encouraged in the Lord that I'm doing it for him and not for recognition down here, you know, and that just helps you to go on, you know. And she even wrote that down, and she said, God has a secret method by which he recompenses his saints. He sees to it that they become the prime beneficiaries of their own benefaction. So what you put out, you get back. You may not see it at the moment, and it may even not come from who you have been a blessing to. It may come from somebody totally different, because the Lord has seen what you've given, and then he's going to give it back to you. It may not come from the person that you were a blessing to. It may come from somebody else that saw that, or somebody totally different, but the Lord is going to give back to you what you put out. So it's still the reaping and the sowing. You know, if we reap contention and we reap, you know, well, I'm only going to be a blessing to just the people that I like, you know. I'm really not going to, you know, I'm not going to be a blessing so much to her, because, you know, she's usually not always nice to me. No, we can't, you know, our little brains tend to run on that angle, but, you know, we're not supposed to do that. We're not totally supposed to be like that. So Galatians 6:7 talks about the kind of what we're sowing here. Galatians 6:7. So it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we know that principle. So if you're sowing kindness and long-suffering and peace and joy and love, it's going to come back to you. It's just, God said so. You may not see it at the moment, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Okay, now let's go to Matthew 25. We're going to move around today. Matthew 25. 35 through 40. So Jesus is talking, and they're asking him, you know, what's the kingdom going to be like? And he says, for I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So Jesus looks on our kindness differently than we look at it. When we're kind to someone that is unlovely, is, you know, we're showing our kindness to the Lord. He says, you're doing this, when you do it to the least of, you're doing it for me. You're doing it for me to show people me, but you're also blessing me because of how you're being. So it's doing for others and strangers, just like they were talking in the auditorium before we came over here. Do a kind deed when you're out. You know, things that people don't expect. You know, buy somebody a drink, or, you know, or let somebody go first in the line, or just little things that you don't necessarily think about, but it can touch somebody in such a way that their life could, and we don't know when we see people want, you know, I think about that sometimes. It's like you see people driving and they've got this scowl on their face, or they just look, and you're like, wow, Lord, you know, help them, do something for it. It's like you see people all the time and they just look like they're so defeated in their life. And it's like, but how, it's like we can't do something for everybody that we see. But when you can, do something. You know, it's like I've started carrying granola bars in my purse. Okay, so when I see somebody that's got one of them signs and they want something, I hand them a granola bar, because I'm not going to give them money, because they're not going to use it for what their sign says, because they're going to, you know, do something else with it. But I just fed them. Now they can take it one way, or, you know, but everybody has said thank you. And, you know, the ones that I've managed to give them out to, and, but it's like, you know, or you're in the, you know, the fast food place or something, buy an extra dollar hamburger, and, you know, there's about every corner you go to, there's somebody that, you know, or, you know, yeah, you know, there was some article, somebody on the news, forget where I saw it, I think it was like Chick-fil-A, they were doing the appreciation for the military, and they had this one table, and they had a flag, and it was like the unknown kind of like the unknown soldier, but it was an empty seat, and they kept it empty. But it was like, but people were coming in to the restaurant, and they were seeing like veterans, and, you know, or they'd see somebody that was in uniform or something on that day, and in Chick-fil-A, they were getting their meals for free. If you walked in there. But people were actually going out of there, even though they got their meal for free, they were buying an extra something. And this one guy, he goes, I have more than I could possibly eat. But people kept bringing me stuff to the table because I was there in uniform. And it's like, just, you know, look around. There's somebody you could do something for, whether it's a call. Sometimes that's all that would make somebody's day, is that you thought of them and you called them and, you know, are you doing okay? Or things, you know, you were on my heart. So I just wanted to call you and tell you I love you. I'm praying for you. That goes a long way to brighten somebody's day. So think outside the box sometimes in what you could do for someone, or how you could spread your kindness around. Yes, ma'am.
I think sometimes even just a smile.
Exactly. Go.
Because people don't, you know, like you say, they're so defeated and just, you know, just a kind smile. And I like your idea about the granola bar, because I've been giving dollar bills, but I keep them in my visor in the car with a track.
With a track, mm-hmm.
And, but I could do a granola bar instead. And
right, I mean, you could even buy the cheap granola bars, have a box, keep it in, you know, we don't, well, it's cool enough now where you can keep them in your car, but, you know, grab a few, you know, and you could even, you know, wrap a track around them with a rubber band so they're already ready, and hand them out to, you know, people that you see.
When I mentioned to Sharon, too, I had this epiphany, you know, say, every time we go to a hotel, I take the shampoo and the little soap and everything, and I had accumulated quite a few in the drawer, and I thought, you know what, I'll just get some little bags at the dollar store. And I was able to pack up 9 little bags.
There you go.
Of the, you know, soap, conditioner, shampoo, a dental floss, a tract, I don't know what else I put in there. That's probably about it. But, you know, so when it gets a little closer to Christmas, I'll be handing those out to them. And I think that'll be...
Right.
Even the men, at first I thought, well, I see a lot of homeless ladies, but men use shampoo and soap and stuff too.
Then I saw somebody put it on Facebook. They said, do you have an old purse that you don't want? Fill it up with like the little soaps and stuff, put some feminine products in there, and give it to a homeless person.
You guys are amazing. You just relieve my guilt.
There you go.
How you drive past them, you don't look at them, because I'm not going to give you no money, because you're just going to use it. I don't know what you're going to use it for, but I'm not going to give you. You just relieve my guilt, because my guilt...
They may think you're thinking they're dirty or something.
Well, no, it's just being a blessing to them. You know,
yeah.
You know, it's like give them, you know, a little, just, it's just here, you know, I've been, you know, have a good day, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I drive by this one lady whenever I have to come into town. She's always on this one corner selling papers. At least she's doing something. She's selling papers. But I can still tell she doesn't have anything, you know. So just, you know, at Christmas time, I have, you know, a couple of old, if you got a little backpack, or, you know, just put some odds and ends. You can go to the dollar store, spend $5, and put some stuff in a backpack and give it to somebody, and just be a blessing. You know, if you've got one of the little, like the little pocket New Testaments, you know, throw one of those in there with the track, and just,
like, all of that.
You know, it's like, yay.
I remember one time, too, at work, it was a temporary person that was working with me, and she had an interview for a job, and she didn't have a car, and I said, well, let me get you a ride. To me, a ride was nothing.
Yeah.
Literally nothing. She was so impressed that I would offer
to take her.
I mean, it really impressed her. So you don't know what a little thing that you do might really mean a big thing to somebody else.
Exactly. Just
might not do
that. And it might
but
not.
I was like shocked that she was very appreciative, but beyond appreciation, she was just truly amazed.
Yes.
That someone else would offer her a ride.
Right. Yeah,
but,
you know.
Wow.
Right. Oh yeah, I put that water in the fridge, Diana. So kindness speaks peace. It lifts loads. It inspires the downhearted. It's often done in secret and seen only by God. Many people are too busy to be kind. What are some ways we can show kindness? And we've just talked about those. Pray in the morning. Lord, how can I be kinder today? Whether it is a smile, you know, whether it is, no, you can go ahead. Or just be, you know, just being polite is, you know, it's a big thing. The cashier, you know, it's like, thank you for, you know, standing here all day on your feet, you know. pick up a candy bar at when you're at checkout and hand it to her. Or, just something. There's some way you can reach out and be kind to somebody. But don't forget, kindness starts at home. Make sure that your kindness spreads around in the people that you're always around, that we take for granted, that, we'll be short-tempered with because you know them so well, or, but a smile and a please and a thank you and, I appreciate that you did such and such. That goes a long way, even in our families. All right, while we're in Matthew, let's go to chapter 11. Oh, next week, I'm going to bring the books in that we can choose to do for our next book, just so that we can get them ordered, because we have, this is lesson 12, and we're on lesson 8. So we only have, 4 lessons left. So that's not going to take us long, because none of them are very long to do. So this way, at least we can look at them together, because I want it to be kind of a joint decision. We can take a vote, kind of thing, just to see what you guys would like to do next. So Matthew 11, 28 and 29. It's talking about, it says, how do these verses describe Christ? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The Lord wants our burdens. He wants us to bring things to him. He says, take my yoke upon you. So follow the Lord. Look at his examples of how he ministered to people, what he gave of himself to people. The little bit that we can do to show others the Lord makes a big difference. He didn't put himself first at all. He was always looking out for someone else, but he was meek. But the burden, he's got the big, he's the one that can help us and lift us up when we've got burdens, and it makes it hard to be loving and kind and feeling peaceful and joyful. He's the one to go to. He's the one to give these burdens over to him. And
when I read that, I thought about gentleness and a big hug.
Mm-hmm.
If you just need a big hug from somebody, you can go to the Lord.
Always. He's always there. That's what he said. Give me the things. It's like, I will give you rest from those burdens. He's the only one, that really can get you through the situation that you're in. But then, as we've learned in this book, sharing with someone else that's here, the Lord uses other people to help with our burdens as well. The Lord brings people into our lives that you feel comfortable sharing things with, that this is a struggle I'm having. We tend to hide those things from other people. We tend, it's like, yes, I'm struggling. I don't read my Bible every day, or I'm not praying well, or I'm not doing this or that. There's all these things that we have in our lives that we tend to keep to ourselves, that we don't share with one another, other than saying, you know, pray for me. But you, that's so generalized in a sense, but sometimes that's all we can let them in. That, but then the Lord knows what's going on, so then that too can be a blessing for them, that that you are praying for them, and pray for them at the moment. Pray for them, remember them. You know, it's like go around the room and think of the people in our class. Say a prayer for them every day, or when you think of them. You know, just make it a matter of I'm going to look out for other people as opposed to myself. Meek and lowly. In those verses can be translated as gentle and humble. Here's another interesting insight into the phrase. This Syriac New Testament translates the word gentle as restful. Accordingly, Jesus' expression is, "Come to me and I will rest you, for I am restful, and you shall find rest for yourselves." Christ's whole demeanor was such that people were often restful in his presence. They were comfortable to be there. They didn't feel, it was the ones that didn't want anything to do with him that found his countenance or everything about him disturbing. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the ones that weren't doing right, they were the ones that were always agitating and being agitated by what he said. But the common people, they were the ones that were sitting by 5,000 people would come and sit just to hear him talk. You know, it's like they'd be on the hillside, the whole hillside filled with people. He'd be down here. And I remember we used to watch this show when we were overseas that came from Israel. And this gentleman, his name was Zola Levitt, and he was a preacher. But he went to the spot where they figure by the description in the Bible of the lake and where they were. And it made this like natural amphitheater. And because Jesus was down by the water and the way the wind blew across the water, it was at his back. And the people were all on the hillside coming down like this. And he stood on the shore and talked to them. Just talked in a normal voice. And they were all able to hear because he had people up on the hill in different spots, and he's just standing there and he's just talking in a normal voice, and you know, it's like they'd raise their hand and they'd answer his question up, and he like, I had a hard time hearing them, but they could hear me. And it's like, but do you think it's like there's that one spot when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he spoke and they all fell down. It's like his words, his voice was so powerful that it could do that, but it could calm someone. It could bring peace to someone. But he had a force about him because he was God. But he could still be the gentlest of men and speak to multitudes and crowds, and everybody just stopped and they listened and they were encouraged by what he had to say, except the ones that were so opposed to him. So if we're gentle and kind and Christ-like, how will this affect the people around us?
But you know, like I was saying this morning in church, I noticed all last week the people were coming to me and asking me about what I was going on. But I also know that I have been saying to people, God bless you, or you know, or people ask you how you're doing and you try to be positive and stuff. And I noticed that even with people who you think are mean and evil and they're not talking, and when you say to them, God bless you, have a blessed day, they smile.
Mm-hmm.
And they, and all of a sudden,
Andrea, can you pour me a little glass of water, please? Oh, thank you.
So it's just been kind of amazing. But it's like you say, though, the change has to come from you. It doesn't necessarily come from other people first.
Exactly.
It has to come from you.
I mean, We can calm someone that's agitated by just how you talk, answer them. If they're all, you know, and you get right up there with them, well, you know, nobody's, the situation is just twofold now, gotten worse, you know. Sometimes that's hard to do, but if we are, it's all in our reaction. You know, it's like they're going flying off the handle, and it's like you just take a step back. And even if it's like, okay, I'm not going to say anything, I'm going to take a breath, Lord help me. That takes that long to say in your head. But it's enough to focus. Okay, they're agitated. They're all upset. But how do I, you know, it's like, how do I diffuse this situation? But calming down. First of all, just being relaxed.
Be still and know that I am God.
Exactly.
Yes. How many times a week? Because I want to
breathe. There we go. But it says, you know, there's a time to be still and hear the voice of the Lord. And there's a time to be doing. But we, if we're always doing and we're never still, we can't hear that little small voice that speaks to us and says, do this, do that, call them, reach out to this one. You know, it's like if we're never in that mindset of I'm going to be still and listen to what God is trying to say to me, then, you know, in all the stuff that we have in our lives that's coming at us, how do you hear him? How do you hear that little voice if you don't take any time to just stop for a second and say, Lord, what do you want me to say? Lord, are you there? And you know he is, but it's like, Lord, I need you right now. Or, you know, that goes along with that pray without ceasing. You know, it's like constantly just, you know, make yourself, you know, Lord, help. So it asks us, so do you put people at ease when they're around you? This is something that we have to do for ourselves. Evaluate your attitudes, your actions. What do you think people would or would not feel at ease? Why do you think people would or would not feel at ease around you? Sometimes it's because you're... Oh, thank you, Rodney. You're... You know, you don't have a smile on your face. You know, you're not calm. Or it can be the opposite. You know, I guess there's, you could be too laid back in a sense. You know, it's like everything's just, oh, well, you know. You don't really truly have an answer for anybody because you're not engaging in that with them. So sometimes you have to engage, you know, it's like we can say hello and you know, but you're not actually engaged with that person. You're still focused on what you're doing, but you just, you know, you're kind of touching people sort of, but you're not taking the time to, they stop you and they say hello, how are you doing? You know, don't answer them as you keep walking. You know, it's like stop for a second and focus on them and listen to what they have to say. It's, you can still go to where, unless your mind goes pew and you don't remember where you were going. But, you know, and so, sometimes that happens. So, do you picture yourself as gentle and kind with others? If your answer is no, here are two things to do to help develop a gentle spirit. Decide if you want to be gentle and kind in your dealings with others, or if you want to keep your spirit of, hey, that's just me, I say what I feel. Ask these questions of a person who will be honest with you. Am I blunt and abrupt with people? Am I dogmatic and intimidating? If you cannot win by being a gentle lady or a kind gentleman, then the winning is not worth your stooping beneath yourself, which would be no victory at all. There is more excellent and kindly way, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, patient. That's 2 Timothy 2:24. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherish her children. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. How does a loving mother deal with her children? We always take time with our children. When they're sick, who do they want? They don't want dad, they want mom. Always. I mean, my daughter hasn't been, speaking of my daughter, pray for her. She's having these dizzy episodes. They call it positional vertigo. And so it doesn't happen all the time, but when she lays down, when she rolls over in bed, she's like the room is spinning. But like sitting up, if she looks at something and turns her head, it's okay. But if she swings her body, then all of a sudden it's like, whoa. So like she can still drive. Sometimes she says it goes away. And then in the afternoon, it's back, and it's like looking at her computer, and then the down at the screen, just that movement. Well, she's been to the chiropractor. She had a massage yesterday. But he says that all the muscles that go up into, like, her neck and into her head are really tight. So he's been trying to alleviate, you know, like, doing stuff on her head and... But he goes, he did a couple of tests. He goes, it's not like inner ear, like true vertigo. Yeah, you know, like she said, I'm not stuffy. You know, I'm drinking a lot, so I'm not dehydrated. You know, she's a nurse. She knows these things. But she's like, it just is like comes and goes. And it's almost like I don't know when it's going to happen. But like she says, it hasn't affected me when I'm driving at all. Like sitting there and, you know, like the slight movements of looking around and stuff. She goes, I don't feel it when I'm driving. And I'm like, that's just the Lord, because you have to go to work and you have to drive, and you can be dizzy when you're at home. You know, it's like you're just there at home. I said, just be careful because you have stairs. No, she's got an appointment this week with her acupuncturist, who works for a naturopathic doctor that she's going to start seeing. So she's been talking to her, so she's going to see her this week. So they're going to try to like get to the bottom of this whole situation. Maybe we'll see. All right. So I want to finish this last question. Okay, so it's like this last question, 18. How can we exemplify a mother's gentleness in dealing with others? Being calm, listen, pray, serve, love, all of the things that we've been talking about. So now we are done with this chapter. Just read that little things from the heart. Okay, so next week we will start on... I do like the verse that's here, so that... The Matthew 7:16 and 17 is the verse for the next chapter.